This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for being with us today. The drive towards including more renewables in the state energy portfolio has been going in fits and starts. Incentive programs for solar, wind, and biomass have come and gone, though individual communities such as Milwaukee continue to encourage and promote the conversion to renewable fuels. Today in Madison, local government leaders and members of the state's renewable energy community will address some current challenges in the industry. The third annual Renew Policy Summit will feature two national thought leaders in the area. Carl Robigo was an assistant secretary of energy in the Clinton administration and now runs an Austin, Texas-based consulting firm. Dr. Dan Arvizu is director of the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, or NREL, in Golden, Colorado. Robigo tells WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz that he believes this is a magical time for solar energy.
What's going on in solar today is a convergence of a whole lot of interesting things. First of all, we've got falling prices. We've got consistent public political support, meaning this is probably the most charismatic energy technology that we've seen in a long time. We've got some innovative financing coming, so we've got capitalism coming to the game, innovative financing, clever business models, smart young people wanting to work on it. We're not just depending on old folks like me, you know, but rather new minds are entering it and have the opportunity because of the fast-paced way in which businesses can work, organize, and go into business, bringing new ideas.
This is Dan. I'm certainly a big fan of I think, the potential that solar brings. I think it's still relatively immature. I mean, there are certain things you can do with solar today that just make absolute great sense to do, and we should be doing them. Solar hot water heating, solar lighting. In terms of converting it to electricity and using it as a source that competes, say, with the fossil fuels, we still have some development to do. But I'm very, very bullish on the idea that solar will be a huge piece of the future energy system. And I think what we've seen is some breakthroughs, certainly in the cost of solar coming down and in the fact that people are now pretty much focused on the fact that they know that it'll be a particularly important source in the future. And so in that sense, it's kind of had a coming out party, you know, in the marketplace, but it's still a relatively small fraction of our overall energy consumption. And over time, that'll change, and I'm convinced that it'll be probably the most dominant of all the renewable energy sources.
You have a vision of a future society that's powered largely by renewable sources. When do you think we're going to start to see more of that? And looking nationwide.
Yeah, you know, I'm the eternal optimist, and I've been in this business, it's been decades now. When I think about the future, what I think about is we really do need to have an energy system transformation. That's why I start with the premise that we need this transformation to an energy system that is much more sustainable than the one we have today. The one we have today simply will not meet the needs of the future for this country. And the best way to talk about what the future will look like is say, you know, the attributes of that future energy system is going to be the things that we all care about. It's going to be affordable, it's reliable, resilient, it's safe and secure, it's accessible to all folks, and it's environmentally very benign, very friendly. My expectation is that in that future system, we're going to see a lot greater attention to efficiency. We're going to see a lot more renewable energy and distributed resources of all kinds. And probably the biggest change that I think we'll see is that the energy customers will be active participants in the commerce of energy. So rather than having a few incumbent providers like we have today that provide, you know, essentially electrons or fuel, we're going to have a system where actually the consumer might actually be a participant as a provider of energy as well. And there'll be a bigger premium on things that I'm calling ancillary energy services, which really relate to, you know, providing capacity value, stability, voltage and frequency regulation and storage and a variety of other things that in the future will have a value to them that's much different than what we have in our present energy system. So to me, the future is really exciting because what it looks like is that there's an opportunity for a whole lot of new innovation. And that's where I get particularly encouraged. Even though it will take some time to actually develop, I think it's a future that's pretty exciting and can do a lot of the things that we have always hoped that our system would do: create jobs, economic growth, competitiveness, and really be an engine for economic development and future standard of living, prosperity, those kinds of things.
So, Carl, let me jump into Wisconsin because, of course, you're speaking at the Renew Policy Summit. What is your, from the outside looking in, assessment and advice going to be, or message going to be?
That's always a risk. It's always a risky thing to be an outsider, but I start with the foundation, which is that Wisconsin has a great tradition of thinking innovatively. They've had this renewable standard and energy efficiency goals, and there is some innovation. There was a tradition of this interesting way in which the sort of the populism that people think of Wisconsin as being meets the clean energy frontier. You've got the fact that the state is not endowed with the traditional sources of energy. It's not rich in natural gas or coal. It doesn't have uranium mines or mountains for a lot of hydropower. If it wants to stop being dependent on other people, it's going to have to develop its own resources. And I think there has been some good effort, and those resources, including the demand side resources, energy efficiency, conservation, smarter use of energy, as well as solar, which, you know, Wisconsin has plenty of, geothermal and other resources that it could be developing, as opposed to, you know, sort of sending all the money away to other people for their fuel. Recently, I think that there have been some indicators of stalling, and in some cases, people would say even going backwards. This is the time when the state could energize the business opportunities around clean energy even more by pushing to raise the standard. Wisconsin's at the point now where its previously ambitious goals now look to be a ceiling, and a ceiling against opportunity. And that's not what you should do. What can I say? In summing it all up, I think that Wisconsin now has the decision in its hands whether it wants to build on a good tradition and strengthen that and reap the benefits in terms of business, economic development, clean energy, resilience, energy security, or sit on its laurels and let somebody else take the leadership position. One of the things, you know, that's fascinating to me is that Minnesota doesn't have, for example, much better solar. I spent a lot of time. Doesn't have much better sun than Wisconsin, but it's got solar manufacturers, and it's got a standard, and it's got people organizing around a market. I get phone calls from people saying, I want to go do business in this market opportunity that is Minnesota. I don't get those calls about Wisconsin. And I think what's on the table now, with the way renewable energy, energy efficiency, energy management, smart grids are bursting out, is that, let me put it this way, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when we will be using a lot more solar, a lot more energy efficiency technology, a lot more energy management and smart grid technology. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. It is also a question of who's going to reap the benefit. And those benefits go to the leader. Those who make themselves a market and an opportunity will get the business and the jobs. Those who do not will be customers of the states that led. And that's the fundamental question in front of Wisconsin right now.
This is Dan. In terms of what's necessary in most of the country, some of the basics are not being done. And that's really where I tend to focus, is that where I applaud those that are pushing the envelope. There's a lot of stuff that just makes economic sense today that we don't do.
You're talking about energy efficiencies and
building codes and efficiency in vehicles. And just, you know, again, efficiency is the low-hanging fruit. Everybody's said that. You know, why we as a country don't rally around that is hard to imagine. You know, we simply haven't made the case properly for the public to get behind it. But it just makes a lot of sense. And I'll talk about some examples that we have on our campus. You know, we have a new facility that we've just built here. We host 1,350 people in our what we call our research support facilities. It's net zero energy. It generates on an annual basis as much energy as it consumes. The average desktop energy usage of every one of our employees in this building is 70 watts. think about your own desktop. Your computer by itself is typically 300 watts. And we're doing all, it's a living laboratory. We're doing all kinds of things that just make sense. Here's the best part. We built this building, including the PV panel, for less than what a building is built to code in this Colorado area. Now, that's pretty amazing. People don't believe you can do that stuff. But it didn't cost us any extra. It cost us less than a building built to code. Given that we know we can do it, why don't we just do it with everything? Those are more cultural and awareness issues than they are anything else. So, you know, I figure if the National Renewable Energy Lab isn't a place where you can come and see the technology at work that we're talking about, seeing us actually do it, then we're probably not as good an ambassador as not doing our job as well as we could have. And this is an opportunity, I think, and why I like to speak to folks who are anxious to find out what can they do, is to say, look, there's a way to blend all these things together and get a value today if you just have the will and the vision to make that happen.
So will that be the heart of your message when you speak in Madison?
It is. I think, you know, again, I'm very much on the think long term and strategically, but act locally and try to figure out what are the no regrets policies or no regrets approaches to options that we have in front of us to work on. That will seed a lot of both interest and for me, it's really about educating the next generation of practitioners, certainly in the fields that relate to clean tech or relate to renewable energy, because these things will take time. And to a large degree, you know, those of us that are getting longer in the tooth, you know, I think our time is past in the sense that we're probably not going to be able to see all the transformations that are necessary, but the next generation is going to have to live with this. And we need people out there that are actually, that caught the vision, that understand that. So education and awareness of the next generation to me is one of the most important things that I can do. It's in that context of showing the way, showing that these things are possible, that gives us encouragement to continue to recognize and do the things that are necessary to get to the long-term outcomes that we're focused on. So, you know, don't be discouraged. It's a long-term deal, and there's lots of things to be optimistic about. Technology opportunities are just absolutely phenomenal, and I'll focus on some of those things that are in the offering, you know, later in the maturity cycle, that are going to be revolutionary. Maybe they won't happen today, won't happen overnight, but in time, we will see those things, I think, making bigger contributions.
Carl Robigo was an assistant secretary of energy in the Clinton administration and now runs a Texas-based consulting firm. Dr. Dan Arvizu is director of the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Colorado. They spoke with Susan Bentz. The third annual Renew Policy Summit runs through this afternoon at UW-Madison. Coming up, a revised edition of a book on Wisconsin's Indian nations captures their modern history. That's next on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.